following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Everybody, how is everybody this morning? Come on, give yourselves a good hand. All right, it's great to see each and every one of you, have you with us today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway. We'd like to also give a special welcome to all of those who are listening to our message online. Let's give them a welcome. Today we are going to be wrapping up our Ordinary Heroes series, which for those of you that have been here the last week is extremely different than anything that we've ever done here at the Lifeway Church before. I want to let you know, just give you a little disclaimer at the front end of this, that portions of today's conversation are going to be sensitive in nature, PG-13. So if you have a child in here that is of kid's way age, I am giving you an opportunity to take your kids out. If you don't want to, that's fine, but you can't say that I didn't warn you, all right? The thought process behind this series is that so many times we come to church and we see all of the smiling faces, and everyone seems to be so happy. Their lives appear to be perfect, and their lives appear to all be lined up in order. And even though we grit our teeth, and even though we come into church and we paste a smile on our faces, inside, truthfully, many of us come in and we're hurting and we're broken. I don't know, have you ever been there before? Where we've had to get into a public place, and even though you know you should be there, just inside you're hurting. And so as we battle through the complexities of our lives, what happens is the enemy, he wants us to feel helpless. Our enemy wants us to feel alone. And what happens is so often as we go through these traumatic experiences, we are convinced that nobody else could ever understand. That nobody else could ever relate to what we are going through. But what God is, I believe, wanting us to see throughout this series is that behind the smiles and the warm embraces of brothers and sisters in Christ, people that come and attend church, we are surrounded by those who are going through or have gone through and overcome some of the exact same struggles. Even though you can't see it underneath the identity, the persona that we all work so hard to create and maintain. We have all been hurt. We are all broken in some way. Buried beneath the surface in our polished images, you will discover all sorts of trauma, all sorts of scars. Everyone here has been hurt. Everyone here has a story. Everyone here has a pain that we're trying to overcome. And so the big question that we've asked all 3 weeks of this series is, are you going to let your pain define you, or are you going to let your pain propel you? And so our key verse is found in Romans 15:1. It was up on the screen a moment ago. We're going to put it up one more time. It says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength." And so in this series, we've had members of this church, people that you see, people that you maybe greet almost every single week, people that if you looked and assessed their lives by what we see externally, you'd think, man, that person has it all together. And these individuals have come up here and they've opened up their hearts, they've become vulnerable, and they've shared their story. In fact, I want to just take this moment to thank Scott and Phil for being so transparent with your stories. I know it wasn't easy. The last two Sundays have been so powerful. If you've missed either of the last 2 weeks, I encourage you to jump online. We've got the messages available for free also on our church app, a podcast as well. So this morning, I'll tell you this, that if Phil and Scott could come back up here, they would tell you this morning that they would not label themselves, they would never label themselves as a hero. But as I've said the last couple of weeks, true heroes are not Hollywood actors that we see in the movies jumping around in form-fitting suits with capes and masks on. Heroes are just ordinary people. Other than what God has endowed them with, they have no special powers. They have no special skills. They dress just like you and I dress. But that's the beauty today, is that God specializes in using the ordinary, the imperfect, and the flawed to fulfill his purpose. And ordinary heroes don't have perfect lives where everything has gone their way, where everything has been smooth. All of the individuals that we've talked to have faced incredible adversity, but they've chosen not to remain, not to stay in their pain. Instead, they've risen above what should have taken them out. Can I be honest? They've risen above what the devil used to destroy them, and they've committed their lives to changing their world. They are ordinary heroes. I want to let you know that getting up here and speaking in front of a crowd like this is never easy, but it's especially difficult to come to the stage and share the most personal and the most painful moments of your life. And so with that in mind, why don't you help me give a great big welcome to Eva Contreras as she comes to the stage this morning. All right, you can have a seat. For those of you who may not know, Eva and Jesus and their family are some of the sweetest people in the world that you will ever meet. I promise you that. They are an amazing, amazing couple. So we honor you, Jesus and Eva. In fact, many of you probably know, or maybe you don't know, but you see her every week. Esme sings right over here. That is Eva and Jesus's daughter. So Esme is on the worship team. Adrian serves in the kids team, working in the production. They are such a blessing to our church. And so we're thankful so much to have you guys as part of our church family. So Eva, I know that this isn't easy. In preparation for this, we actually met on Monday. Eva shared that she is not much of a public speaker. And so as hard as this is going to be to do this and not only be a public speaker, I just honor you. I know it's difficult. Most Sunday mornings, I'm sick to my stomach, and I do it every single week. When I called Eva and told her about this series, and I floated the idea of her sharing her story, as most of us would, she took a lot of time to think about it. She battled, quite honestly, with not wanting to do this. But what I love so much about Eva was that her desire to help others outweighed her fear to get up here and share the story. And so we honor you today. Trying to give you a little bit of time just to catch your breath, and at least the lights are on. Hopefully some of, maybe, you know, just stare into the light or something, then you'll just see spots. So Eva, this morning, why don't you just start by sharing your story with us here. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just hold the mic up right to your mouth, though.
Well, Andrew's right. I think this is the first time I've ever spoken in front of people in general. Like, so this is hard. Just so you all know that this is something that just bear with me, and I think it's going to be a good thing. My story. Growing up, I have 7 brothers and 2 sisters. My parents are sitting right there. Amazing parents. We didn't grow up with much, so my parents had to work extra. My dad had to work extra hours. My mom sometimes had to pick up some hours, and it was just life, and it was good. I remember my dad, my mom always putting time to take us out to the park and to play and to, you know, put our times. And now that I'm a grown adult and I actually work 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, it's like, wow. And extra hours, and then still putting time with your family. It was like, now I see, it's like, wow, that was really, really amazing. And I want to say thank you for that, because I don't think I've ever said thank you for everything that you've actually done for us. But with that said, you know, like every child, we sometimes have to be left with people we care about, and well, people we trust, family, friends, that we trust with our children. And and in my case, the person that was entrusted with our care, with my care, was didn't happen that way. Unfortunately, at the age of 8, I was like 8 and went on through the age of 12. This person decided to completely take my innocence as a young child. It started off small, little games, play house. And as time progressed, it escalated to just a little more, just a little more. It was just more comfortable for him to add to the game, play house, play mom, play dad. I remember one occasion when we were playing and I was completely bare, cold, and someone came down, and I was so scared, and obviously he was dead scared. He made me go under the bed, and I was under there for what felt an eternity until his visit was gone, and just there with my thoughts, my feelings, not knowing what to do, not being able to cry out. Mm-hmm. My voice was actually, since the first day I lost it, I didn't have what was called a voice. I lost everything who I was. I was not able to be me. And that's pretty much it. Okay. I know it was times where I felt like screaming and yelling out, but I couldn't. Mm-hmm. The things I had to do, the things that were done, were to the extent where I felt like there should be just an end, mm-hmm, to life itself here.
Right, right. Well, thank you for sharing that, Eva. I know how difficult that was. You shared that the abuse that you faced occurred for a period of about 4 years, from 8 to 12. That's so young. I mean, that's so young. Can you maybe talk to us about some of the emotions that you faced?
First, you ask yourself why. Like, wow, and you're so young and so little. You don't know things. You don't know that that's sex. Mm-hmm. You don't know that that's, you know, intimacy. Mm-hmm. And so you're just like, wow, you know? And I felt for, like, why? Is this normal? Is everybody going through this? Is it just me? Right. Who can I tell someone? Because so I didn't really know how to feel. But as time passed, I felt so dirty, ashamed, afraid, devalued. Like, I had no value anymore because I did these things. Mm-hmm. So from all of that, I was just ashamed of the things that I did, mm-hmm, and the things that were done that I just hated,
yeah,
with every core of my body, everything inside me. I hated this person. Mm-hmm.
As we met a few, you know, earlier this week, you shared how you kept this secret, this abuse, for over 20 years. I mean, that's a long, long time.
Yes.
And so can you maybe talk about how what happened to you affected you, you know, as you became an adult, as you became a wife, as you became a mother? Can you maybe share some of that with us this morning?
As a wife? Wow. Just simple embraces and reminded you of things, kept me away or distant. I remember my husband telling me something sometimes like, it's me, what's wrong? Why? All the not nows, I'm too tired or have a headache, all of those. It that's what happened. Mm-hmm. So we struggled a lot. We were so dysfunctional. when it came to intimacy, that it was completely, I don't know, like there was times where, I didn't think we were going to make it because we were not connected the way we should have been connected as a married couple. And what I thank God so much about my husband and he gave me him was because all my not nows and I can or, you know, I changed my mind. And not once did I get a argument or a dispute. It was more like a not understanding. And I, speaking with him, he used to feel like he was at fault for something that he did that I didn't want to get close to him. But not once did I get. Once I told him, which was just barely a couple years ago, and he understood everything.
Yeah.
It was just so much better.
Yeah, for sure. And how about as a mom?
As a mom, my poor Esme especially, she has to live in a bubble, pretty much. Mm-hmm. She was not able to do anything. She was not able to go anywhere. She was not able. I barely let her visit her own cousins. Mm-hmm. Sleep over, ask her when has she slept over. She's never slept over her friend's house. So that was fairly difficult for her. Mm-hmm. She really... really struggled because of my difficulties of letting go. She had it really rough. My son as well, as I'm learning now that, you know, and he has to go through it as well.
I think, you know, I don't think you should ever apologize for keeping your kids too safe. I know this is off the notes and off of what we talked about, but listen, it is never too hard of a decision or too bad of a decision to keep your children safe, parents. We just live in a society, we live in a world, and man, I just encourage you, just a free thing, whatever you do, protect your children. That is the most important thing that God has entrusted to you, and you know, I know that it's made Eva feel bad because of her background, but truthfully, you know, her parents or her children being in their care all the time, you know, you can put your head on the pillow asleep at night knowing that, you know, they've been raised in, you know, in a good home, in a good home.
I know I came in with everything. And I knew the dangers out there. I know this is off script too, but I was just so overly protected that when my brothers started having their kids, I'm like, I signed up to be their babysitter because I didn't want them anywhere else. I wanted them safe. Uh-huh. So, yeah, it's hard when you're just so overly protected.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, talk about the secret that you kept hidden all those years. You know, what was the catalyst to really opening up about this dark place, this dark season in your life?
I thought I was, for so many years, for a long time actually, I was fine. I thought, like I had buried it in so deep that it didn't affect me as much as I thought it was. But with time passed, actually had a conversation, and from all people with the person, that person, and It reopened all of the wounds and the pain and everything that I had, and that's what made me just start saying that I'm not where I should be. I'm actually in great pain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I realized that I was not okay, and I have to start leading to being okay.
So here we sit. God is really, I mean, just the fact that you're up here, God's done an amazing work in your life. After 23 years of holding a secret, now you're up in front and in front of a church. You're talking about this publicly. Can you just maybe share some of the things that have helped lead you towards the healing that God's doing in your life?
First of all, I think you have to admit that you have a problem. And not a problem, but that you're hurt.
Yeah.
And that actually you're broken and torn up. Once you realize that you do need, you tell someone, you talk about it. That's how, well, for me in my case, telling my husband was like a big load off my shoulders. I didn't have to carry it alone anymore. When I felt the feelings that I had, what's the purpose to this life, or why go forward, or things like that, he was there. Through all of this, I actually fell into pretty bad depression. So it just telling him was it's just a load off my shoulders, and from that it progressed, and I was able to tell my parents, and I was able to open up about it, and that's what started my healing process.
Right.
Not carry it on my own.
On your own. Yeah, it's so important. So what are what are maybe some of the very specific steps, the specific things that you've taken that have helped you, you know, in this journey?
I was pretty messed up. I was pretty beat up. My mind, my heart, everything was just not where it should be. It was unstable and very, very distort. So the first thing I did was actually sought professional help.
Okay.
And I saw and met up with counselors, and they were able to help me see things in a different perspective and kind of view things differently. So that did kind of help in a way where I was able to express and release more of my details and have someone hear me. That helped out a lot. From coming to Lifeway, and finding people that just love. You go in through the doors and you talk to people and it's like, wow, they just love you. And they don't judge. I didn't ever felt judged or like someone was gonna say something. So it was just much easier for me to to be me.
Yeah.
We went to this life group, the Freedom Life Group.
Yeah.
Wow, that goes deep. And I actually encourage everyone that hasn't done it to do it because it helps you in your process and it helps you be, and that's where I found actually my identity as to be who I was and who I want to be.
Yeah.
Also what actually helped me a lot is the soap reading. It talks to you directly to you when you're feeling sad or upset or down. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to read a scripture and God talks to you directly. It's life-changing.
Yes.
It really is life-changing.
Yes. I don't know, just pause here, but every person that's got up here has talked about that process. So if you're not involved in our SOAP Bible reading and journaling thing, listen, it's not just a to-do thing to check off your Christian list, but listen, God wants to speak to each and every one of us. He wants to speak to you in so many times. In fact, Eva's going to talk about this in a few minutes, but God will give you the word you need exactly for that day to get you through. And so I encourage you, we've got journals in the back. There's actually SOAP. The September guide is in your service outline here this morning. Let me zero in on something, Eva, that you mentioned earlier. And really, it's something that I've heard many times as I've talked to people who have gone through any kind of abuse, and that was the hatred you had towards your abuser, and you know, just how deep that was. So, can you maybe talk about that in a little more depth?
My abuser happened to be a very close family member, and we do have family functions, and I still occasionally have to see this person. When my parents found out, and we actually came a time where we confronted the person. And cold. Excuses. In one moment, it was my fault. There was no remorse. And conversation ended with me being the one at fault, and he had nothing. He was not at fault. So that was really hard.
Yeah.
It didn't help the situation.
Right.
It kind of made it somewhat more difficult,
right,
the process that I had to take.
So now, not only did you have to work through your own healing, but now God's also had to lead you through this process of forgiveness. And so why don't you talk about that in your journey.
Forgiveness, that's a big word. when you have to experience things that are completely unforgivable, the word forgiveness is impossible. It's not a term that you would use in a case like this. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was then. But I learned that forgiving wasn't for him or for what was done for me. Once done to me, it was for me, for my own healing, my family. I had to do it for me and for my health and my well-being and my spiritual walk with God, with everything that had to do with only me, mm-hmm, and not him. That's hard.
Yeah.
I had to learn how to love myself enough to even start the process of healing and forgiving. I had to see and see through God's eyes, mm-hmm, and see how he sees me.
Right.
And once I was able to see through God's eyes the way he loved me and forgave me for me, because I'm not perfect as well. That's when I learned that I have to do the same,
mm-hmm,
pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. It's powerful. Most of you probably don't know Eva's background, but for many years prior to coming to the Lifeway Church, her and her family, they were heavily involved in ministry at another church. Jesus, I believe, served in some associate pastor, some role, kind of a right-hand person to the pastor at the place you guys spent a lot of years there. So I'm setting this up because I think that that's really important to hear this, is that you're not a stranger to being in the presence of God. You've encountered God, you've experienced his presence really on a routine basis. You know, so it's not someone that you've, you know, had to walk through this healing process and, you know, God's just kind of, you know, you are in environments where the Spirit of God moved all the time. But yet, even with that, for years and years and years around God and around his house and feeling his presence and you know, seeing things, obviously God doing things, but yet you still weren't freed from this until more recently. So maybe can you explain that and unpack that for us a little bit this morning?
I call it a mask. I was so good at wearing the mask. I did not know how to show weakness. My family looked up to me to a certain extent that I couldn't share who I was. So I had to be strong. My husband being a minister in the church and people looking at you, you can't show that kind of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
It's shameful and it's hurtful. And to express those kinds of feelings and those kinds of... I couldn't. It was all a mask. Mm-hmm. And I was so good at hiding behind it that's pretty much what it was. I was so broken inside mm-hmm. that I couldn't expose who I really was at that time.
Mm-hmm. So you found that, I know this was something in our discussion, you found that living behind this mask, your identity was really wrapped up in what had happened to you, not who God called you to be, but
right. Yeah.
Well, let me close this conversation out with this question. What would you tell someone today, sitting here today, who may be keeping the same secret that you kept, or maybe haven't kept it a secret, but they're still struggling to overcome something similar to what you went through?
Let God do His work. Once we're willing, He's willing. I had to be willing to let God heal me. It's a process. It's not easy. Oh God, it's not easy. But there comes a time where it's that or nothing, right? God is God. There's a reason why He came, shed His blood, and died on the cross for us, right?
Yes.
For me, for you. And that's what He's there for, to heal. When I was reading one of my soaps, God came to walk by the lame man, and he told the guy, he's like, "Do you want to be healed?" And I thought to myself, what kind of question is that? Mm-hmm. Of course we want to be healed. And the lame man, all he could respond at that time, it was, you know, how to get to the pond, and you get there and then you'll be healed. At that time, he was like, "I can't, because people beat me to it, or because of I'm lame, I can't do it." And I kind of saw it to myself, where I was putting excuses. The pain that I went through, the abuse, the memories, the shame, all of the value that I had, I saw me and I saw no one. Mm-hmm. I had to look in the mirror and say, yes, there is someone. I'm not just me, little Eva. I am a child of God. And I have to allow Him to be part of my life fully. In the case of the lame man, God is like, "Do you want to be healed?" And he's like, "I can't." And then the thing is, at the end, God's like, "Well, just get up and go. Get up, get your bed, and go." It was that easy, that simple, where God can just come and just transform you to something, to someone that you never thought possible. The impossible is possible with God.
Right, right.
The feelings that you have and every, I mean, it's a daily struggle. And forever, I mean, for more than I can remember, I mean, even till more recently, he tries to keep that in your mind, and you're thinking about it, and you're having a good day, and before you know it, you got these memories of in my case, is sexual abuse, in somebody else's case could be something else, but the constant reminders of pain and shame and hurt. Mm-hmm. But we have to remember who we are.
Yes.
And not only remember who we are, I mean, we have to know and believe who we are.
Right.
And let the devil know who we are.
Yes.
I mean, he goes running knowing.
Yeah.
When we know, you know, we have to know, I had to know my value, look in the mirror and say, instead of looking and say, "God, do you really love me? Honey, do you really love me? What is it in me that you see?" Instead of doing all that, look in the mirror and say, "Wow, I love me." Mm-hmm. And the reasons why I love me. And I think that had a lot is allowing God to help to heal.
Yeah. One of the amazing things that Eva told me when we met on Monday evening was that she sees her opportunity, and I know many of you have seen her out in the vestibule. She works on our amazing first impressions team. Always has a great smile on her face. She's quick to give you a hug and love on you. And she shared that every time she gets to serve and share the love of Jesus with people, it's almost like she gets to slap the devil in the face because of all the times that he told her that he couldn't and that she wouldn't amount to and she couldn't make a difference. I just think that is so remarkable. Eva, thank you so much for sharing your story. I just can't imagine how difficult that was. Let's give her a hand. This morning, I know that this is an extremely, extremely sensitive subject. I know that in a group this size, with as many people that are here this morning, there are those of you here who you hurt so deeply over what someone who should have loved you, over someone who should have protected you, that instead took that trust that was placed and they turned it around and you've been hurt. And you might be sitting here like Eva. Your past has controlled you for years. You might even think thoughts like Eva thought, you know, how could God ever love me? I'm damaged. I'm broken because of what happened to her. It actually shifted her view of the world. So I don't want to let you know here this morning that God is here. In fact, our team's been praying. We've been praying all week about this service. And God is asking, just like he asked the lame man that day as he walked past the pool, do you want to be healed? And I can tell you this morning that it won't be an easy journey. But on the other side, I promise you, you will find a freedom that you never, ever thought would be possible. There are others here in this room where someone has hurt you, maybe not in the same way that Eva was abused, but nonetheless, you carry the hurts and you carry the unforgiveness. You carry the hatred in your heart over what someone did. One person said it this way: forgiving someone isn't approving how they wronged you. Rather, it's no longer letting their wrong define you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't want anyone looking around right now. But I want to pray for those of you in this room who have been wronged in any way, shape, or form. Maybe it was like Eva, it was sexual abuse. Maybe you grew up and you were verbally abused or physically abused. Perhaps you're even here this morning and you attended a church and a pastor was spiritually abusive to you. And so because of that, you're broken and you have the wrong worldview. I want to pray over you, and I challenge you this morning, don't let someone else's wrong in your life define who you are and define who God's called you to be. Don't let what happened to you define your worth, your potential. Don't let it define who God has called you to be. If you find yourself at that place, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, I want everybody to be very still right now. I want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hands? Is there anybody? Thank you. Hands all over the place. Wow. God sees. Jesus, so many hands have been raised. So many of us here are broken. So many of us are wounded. So many of us are carrying the weight. And so, Lord God, I know your love for us is so deep. It's so wide. It's so powerful. And so, Lord God, for each and every hand that was raised, Lord God, I pray that right now that you would give courage, that you would give strength. Maybe somebody's sitting here and they've carried this burden and it's almost destroyed their lives. In fact, they've even had moments where they think, is life even worth living? And so, Lord God, I pray that you would give us faith, boldness, and confidence, Lord Jesus, that we would expose this to someone we love and to someone who loves us. Lord God, because it's when the light of your truth shines on us, it's at that point that we're going to be able to fully begin to move down the process towards being healed. Lord, I pray that your power would set free, Lord God, that chains of bondage, chains of brokenness, chains of hurt, chains of betrayal, Lord God, chains of shame and torment and abuse and thoughts of that I'm not good enough. Lord Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, right now, God, I pray that those chains begin to fall to the ground. Lord, we give it to you today. Lord, let this day, September 10th, 2017, be a day that many people in this room remember the day that they were set free from things that have tormented for a long time. We thank you. We thank you for the power of your Spirit, Jesus. We thank you for healing us in our brokenness. And I pray that, God, you would give some of us in this room the opportunity, like Eva had, to use our story, not to define us, but to propel it, to propel us to make a difference in someone else's life. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You might be sitting here this morning and you've never made the commitment to follow Jesus. Before we finish up here this morning, if you've never made that choice, God is here to set you free. God is here to deliver you. God is here to save you from your sin. He loved you so much that he robed himself in flesh. He came and walked the earth. While he performed a lot of amazing miracles and said a lot of revolutionary things and changed the world, his sole purpose for coming was to shed his blood for your sin and for my sin. And so if you're here this morning and you've never made that first time commitment to say, Lord, I give my life to you. Or maybe you're sitting here today and for whatever reason, you've just made some poor choices and you just drifted away and you're not living the life. Can I tell you, today's a great moment. Today's a great day. Now is a great moment to make that step and move back towards Jesus. So one more time, real quickly, I want you to bow your heads again, close your eyes. If you're ready to make that decision today, on the count of three, I want you just to lift your hands boldly to heaven. We're going to pray for you. One, two, three. Is there anybody here? Thank you. I see your hand here. Thank you. See another hand here. Thank you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, Lord, you see every hand that's raised. Lord God, and so today we say, Lord, I give you my life. Lord, today I repent. Today I turn towards you. Today I give you my life. Lord God, I pray today, Lord Jesus, that you would just wash me. Let your blood cleanse and cover my life, Lord Jesus. Let today be a fresh chapter, a new start, a new opportunity. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't you clap your hands this morning?
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about the Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.